Then he jumped down into the ditch and fought through the ice and the mud to the shoulder. He stepped up on the blacktop and ran to the rear corner of the vehicle. Blowing snow pelted his face. He lined up on the lane markers and ran 30 paces back the way they had come. A curved trajectory. 30 paces, 30 yards. 90 feet. Near enough to 88. 88 feet per second was the same thing as 60 miles an hour, and plenty of lunatics would be driving 60 even in a snowstorm. He leaned down and jabbed a flare spike into the blacktop. The crimson flame ignited automatically and burned fiercely. He continued the curve and ran another 30 paces, used the second flare, ran another 30 and used the third to complete a warning sequence. 3 seconds. 2. 1. Move the hell over. Then he ran back and floundered through the ditch again and hammered on the door until the driver broke off his medical ministrations and opened up. Reacher climbed back inside. He brought a flurry of snow in with him. He was already seriously cold. His face was numb, his feet were freezing, and the interior of the bus itself was already cooling. The windows all along one side were already pasted with clumps of white. He said, "You should keep the engine running. Keep the heaters going." The driver said, "Can't. The fuel line could be cracked from where we scraped." Reacher said, "I didn't smell anything when I was outside." "I can't take the risk. Everyone is alive right now. I don't want to burn them up in a fire." "You want to freeze them to death instead?" "Take over with the first aid. I'll try to make some calls." So Reacher ducked back and started checking the old folks. The driver had gotten through the first two rows. That was clear. All four of the window seat passengers were sporting band-aids over cuts from the metal edges around the glass. "Be careful what you wish for. Better view, but higher risk." One woman had a second band-aid on the aisle side of her face, presumably from where her husband's head had hit her after bouncing around like a rag doll. The first broken bone was in row 3. A delicate old lady, built like a bird. She had been swinging right when the bus changed direction and swung left. The window had tapped her hard on the shoulder. The blow had bust her collarbone. That was clear. Reacher could see it in the way she was cradling her arm. He said, "Ma'am, may I take a look at that?" She said, "You're not a doctor." "I had some training in the Army."
"Were you a medic?"
"I was a military cop. We got some medical training."
"I'm cold."
"Shock," Reacher said. "And it's snowing." She turned her upper body toward him, implied consent. He put his fingertips on her collarbone, through her blouse. The bone was as delicate as a pencil. It was snapped halfway along its length. A clean break, not compound. She asked,
"Is it bad?"
"It's good," Reacher said. "It did its job. A collarbone is like a circuit breaker. It breaks so that your shoulder and your neck stay okay. It heals fast and easy."
"I need to go to the hospital."
Reacher nodded. "We'll get you there." He moved on. There was a sprained wrist in row 4 and a broken wrist in row 5, plus a total of 13 cuts, many minor contusions, and a lot of shock reaction. The temperature was dropping like a stone. Reacher could see the flares out the rear side windows. They were still burning, 3 distinct crimson puffballs glowing in the swirling snow. No headlights coming, none at all, no traffic. He walked up the aisle, head bent, and found the driver. The guy was in his seat, holding an open cell phone in his right hand, staring through the windshield, drumming his left-hand fingertips on the wheel. He said,
We've got a problem.
What kind of a problem?
I called 911. The highway patrol is all either 60 miles north of here or 60 miles east. There are 2 big storms coming in, one from Canada, one off the lakes. There's all kinds of mayhem. All the tow trucks went with them. They've got 100-car pileups. The highway is closed behind us and up ahead.
No traffic. Where are we?
South Dakota.
I know that.
Then you know what I mean. If we're not in Sioux Falls or Rapid City, we're in the middle of nowhere. And we're not in Sioux Falls or Rapid City.
We have to be somewhere. GPS shows a town nearby, name of Bolton, maybe 20 miles, but it's small, just a dot on the map.
Can you get a replacement bus?
I'm out of Seattle. I could get one maybe 4 days after the snow stops.
Does the town of Bolton have a police department?
I'm waiting on a call.
Maybe they have tow trucks.
I'm sure they do, at least one. Maybe at the corner gas station, good for hauling broken-down half-ton pickup trucks. Not so good for vehicles this size.
Maybe they have farm tractors.
They'd need about 8 of them and some serious chains.
Maybe they have a school bus we could transfer.
The highway patrol won't abandon us. They'll get here.
Reacher asked, what's your name?
Jay Knox.
You need to think ahead, Mr. Knox. The highway patrol is an hour away under the best of circumstances. 2 hours in this weather. 3 hours, given what they're likely dealing with. So we need to get a jump. Because an hour from now, this bus is going to be an icebox. 2 hours from now, these wrinklies are going to be dropping like flies. Maybe sooner.
So what gets your vote?
Richard was about to answer when Knox's cell phone rang. The guy answered it and his face lightened a little. Then it fell again. He said,
thanks,
and closed the phone. He looked at Reacher and said,
apparently the town of Bolton has a police department. They're sending a guy, but they got problems of their own, and it will take some time.
How much time?
At least an hour.
What kind of problems?
They didn't say.
You're going to have to start the engine.
They've got coats.
Not good enough.
I'm worried about a fire.
Diesel fuel is a lot less volatile than gasoline.
What are you, an expert?
I was in the Army. Trucks and Humvees were all diesel. For a reason. Reacher glanced back down the aisle. Got a flashlight? Got an extinguisher?
Why?
I'll check the underbody. If it looks all clear, I'll knock twice on the floor. You start up. If anything goes on fire, I'll put it out and knock again, and you can shut it down.
I don't know.
Best we can do. And we have to do something. Knox was quiet for a spell, and then he shrugged and opened up a couple more compartments and came out with a silver mag light and an extinguisher bottle. Reacher took them and waited for the door to open and climbed out into the spectral crimson world of the flares. Down into the ditch again. This time he trudged counterclockwise around the front of the bus, because the oblique angle put more of the left side above the blacktop than the right. Crawling around in the freezing ditch was not an attractive prospect. Crawling around on the shoulder was marginally better.